When's it gonna happen? Here I am. There you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you gonna do when you leave this building? Are you gonna share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just gonna bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means, to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things, but I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down, to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. Hey, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
Salt, sodium chloride, it's an essential mineral. It's actually the only rock that you eat on a regular basis, and it's absolutely essential for life. It's possible to eat too much salt, but if you don't have sodium in your system, your cells cease to function. Without salt, you die. It also tastes great on French fries. Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "You are the salt of the earth." So to the people that were listening to his teaching, you are the salt of the earth. Now, in Jesus' time, he probably wasn't so much thinking about flavoring of food as much as the preserving of food. Because you see, back in the day before there were refrigerators and all that kind of great stuff, salt was essential for keeping food edible, for keeping food from spoiling. If you don't have salt, you don't have any food security. You might not make it through the winter or through a drought. Without salt, you can't travel, you can't go anywhere. So you can't build a kingdom or an empire without salt. Salt, I mean, wars have been fought over salt, because salt is that important? Salt keeps things from spoiling. It keeps good food from going bad. And with preserved food, you live. Jesus said, "We are the salt of the earth." That there is something that disciples have, something that followers of Jesus know, or something we've experienced that makes a difference for the rest of the world. There's something. And at the core, I suppose, the message of the gospel is simply this, that God loves people. The God, the true God, the creator God of the universe, isn't the God the judge or God the distant one. Isn't the God of Islam that hopes that you follow all the rules or you're condemned. It's a God of relationship. The God that calls people his children, that loves people, even when they're in rebellion. Now, the Bible puts it a lot of different ways, but in Romans 8 it puts it like this, and I just think these words are just profound, so beautiful. "Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Paul writes to the Romans. "Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.'" No, he says, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither," what's the word? "Death, nor what? Neither what? Nor? Neither the? Nor the? Nor any powers, neither," what's the word? "Nor will be able, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." The gospel is that God loves the world so much that he didn't want humanity to be separated from him. So he sent his son, Jesus. He sent his son, Jesus, to pay the price for human sin, to reconcile humanity to God, to die on the cross so that we wouldn't need to die spiritually. That message of the gospel is salt. It keeps people from spoiling. It keeps, if we believe the Bible, this message of the gospel, this message of God's love, is actually more important than life or death, because it's the only thing that will actually continue on even past this life, the love of God. It's an absolutely essential message that people need to hear. But there's a problem, isn't there? Because salt, well, like salt in this salt shaker, sometimes it gets stuck. It doesn't come out very well. It gets all gummed up with stuff in there. You ever have that problem? Just gunky, man. And so you're trying to, the salt is supposed to be out there, and it's supposed to be preserving. It's supposed to be keeping things from spoiling. It's supposed to have it so people don't die spiritually. This message, this salt, this people that carry this message. But it gets stuck in the salt shaker. And it doesn't come out. Now, we talked last week a bit about why that sometimes happens. I mean, there's a problem with Christians, really. There are, and the longer you've hung out in the church, the more you discover this. The problem with Christians is they're just way too fun. I mean, when they throw a party, they genuinely have a good time without it compromising your marriage or giving you a headache. You know? When somebody asks you how you're doing, most of the time they actually care. And they actually want to hear the answer. Christians are fun. For the most part, there are exceptions. But, you know, when you get connected with some other believers and you get into those kind of friendships, I mean, it's great. It's a slice of heaven on earth. of just genuinely caring people that walk with you, that support you, that love you, and it's great. But the problem with that, and it's not intentional, it's never really intentional, is that when we get into those little clusters and we just find all these people that we really love, there's a tendency at times to just let ourselves get isolated from the needs of the larger world around us. When Christians become the majority of people that we hang out with. And as we get physically separated from people that maybe don't know Christ, over time we get emotionally separated. And it's not that we don't mean to care, we just stop thinking about it. And we slip into a pattern of apathy. Not hatred, but apathy. We're just not thinking about it. And it's like the salt in the salt shaker. It just gets stuck. And it doesn't come out very well. So, in the series that we're in the middle of, we're in week two of a 4-week series called Salt. It's dedicated to this idea at its core. I will not be apathetic about the needs of people who don't yet know Christ. I will not be apathetic about the needs of people who don't know Christ. We need reminders from time to time. We need things to jar us enough to go, I love my Christian friends. I love hanging out with people that support me and love me and are kind to me. And I love, you know, being in places where I feel like, you know, we believe some of the same things and I fit. I love that. But that's not the whole reason why I'm here. You're not on this earth to be comfortable. You're not on this earth to be loved only. You're also on this planet to be salt. Because if you've experienced the love of Jesus in your life, and you know, like that video with that woman, and you know you've experienced in your life a sense of God's love and a sense of God's hope, and what happens when we encounter God and go, oh my goodness, there is something beyond this. There's something beyond this life. I mean, if you know that, that's a message that has to be shared with the world around us. I will not be apathetic about the needs of people who don't yet know Christ. So last week I asked you to do something. Some of you filled out these, what we call invest and invite cards. Now, a few of you recycled them right after the worship service. I don't know what that means. But because the assignment was actually to write down names of at least three people in your life that, as far as you can tell, I mean, we don't know. We don't know people's heart. Only God knows people's heart. But as far as you can tell, somebody that doesn't know or doesn't yet know Christ, somebody that, as far as you can tell, is living apart from a conscious awareness of the love of God through Jesus. And to write down those names and make the commitment to regularly, daily, pray for them, to look for opportunities to share your faith, and if it's appropriate, to invite them to church. So, what I want to ask you to do, those that are willing to, for those that did this, you know, whether you prayed every day or you just prayed every time you could, or, you know, whatever, but you've engaged in this, you've taken up the challenge, and you're saying, I will not be apathetic. I will not be apathetic about the needs of people that don't yet know Christ. What's that doing in you? Like, in five words or less, if you've been doing some of this, if you've been praying for people in your sphere of influence, and you're saying, God, would you give me an opportunity to share your love with them? Would you give me an opportunity to let them see the kind of hope that's in my life? If you're doing that on a regular basis, what's happening in you? Are you being changed by that process? Like, if I was going to summarize it for myself, with the names that I've written down, I haven't had a real opportunity to share. I mean, I looked for it, but I haven't seen it yet, in the past week. But something weird does happen for me. As I've been praying this prayer, I've been getting more curious. Might be driving down the street or biking somewhere or walking somewhere, and I see somebody go passing by, and this weird thought starts in my head, like, I wonder what's happening in their life. Just an awareness thing. It's kind of shifting. I'm becoming more curious. That's what it's doing in me. What's it doing in you? Those of you that are doing this kind of a thing on a regular basis, in five words or less, what's it doing in you? Empathy and a greater sense of connection. Yeah. So it's burning you up. Hurts your feelings, yeah, because it's just this deep concern. They need to know this. Yeah. Who else?
How do you be aware and intentional and see opportunities?
Aware and intentional and seeing opportunities that you might have otherwise missed. Good word, Lois. Good word. Who else? Mac.
More open-minded.
Wow, good word. Yeah. Who else? Okay. So you've just been praying, and somebody that you've been praying for, something just happened. I mean, praise God. I mean, that's the Spirit working through your prayers, and the Spirit prompting you to pray. Yeah. Who else? So what have you been noticing in you as you've been? Right, more aware of God's compassion. I'm starting to feel what God feels for people. Good word. Good word. Who else? Yeah. Yeah. God, whatever breaks your heart, break mine with it. And it, like it's been shared, like a sense of empathy and compassion, and it revives a sense of care and love in our hearts. That's exactly what it should be doing. That's why we need to be going through these times of reminder, and why for the next 4 weeks we're going to be talking, or the next three, two after this one. The number's just getting shorter as we go, isn't it? Okay, I'm bad at math. Really, that's what it comes down to. But a season where we just say, God, we do not want to be apathetic people. We don't want to let our lives get overly insulated, so we no longer care about the needs of the hurting world around us. We do not want that to happen. I want to provide you with a couple of tools this week that I hope will be helpful to you. Did everybody get one of these wristbands on the way in? Okay. If you don't have a wristband, because I know some of you sneak past those bulletin people. I just know. I know. You're sneaky folks. But if you'd like to, and you still want to get one of these wristbands, just put your hand up, and one of our nice people will wing one at you. They'll hit you with a wristband. On the outside, it says thirsty. But what I'd like you to ask you to do is, for the rest of this month, potentially, just think about it, for some people that are in your life, that as far as you can tell, they are distant from God. As far as you can tell. And you're saying, God, I want you to remind me to pray for them on a regular basis, because I don't want my life to get overly insulated. I don't want to slip into apathy. Is on that band, and maybe you've got a pen in your hand, and I tried this earlier, and the pens are a little tricky. It's kind of hard to write with the ballpoints on this, but here's the idea. Or you could use the Sharpies outside. I mean, we got some Sharpies out there too. But it's just maybe write down inside the band the initials of some of the people that you're praying for. And then just... I mean, you can even turn it around. It's not like anybody needs to see it. This is just between you and the Lord. You're going to know what this means. God's going to know what this means. And just wear it. Just wear it. Because you see, here's the deal, is you bring your arms with you. And so maybe you're driving and you, oh, that's right. Well, you don't, by the way, if you're driving, don't shut your eyes while you pray. Just a cheap pastor bit of advice for you. But just as a reminder, on a regular basis, to be praying for people that, as far as you can tell, are distant from God, and they need to know Jesus. That God would give you an opportunity to share your faith with them in some natural way, like not ramming anything down anybody's throat, but just expressing and sharing love and hope with the people around you. So, you know, yeah, if you've got a pen, just write down an initials or something, some little reminder so that you know what this means. You know what this band means. And then just wear it. Just wear it. You know, it doesn't have any churchy stuff on it, so if somebody asks you about it, you're not immediately going to feel weird, but this might be a great way to open up a conversation. Or, you know, it's got the word thirsty on it because on the 26th of this month, you know, we're launching our big fall series. We're asking people to invite everybody they know, and we're doing a 10-week series of what it means to go deep in your walk with Jesus. You know, looking at some of the habits that sustain us and build strong, just strong spiritual foundations, what have traditionally been called the spiritual disciplines. We're going to be talking about the habits of healthy Christian living. And maybe if somebody asks you about it, this would be a good opportunity to invite them to come. You know, hey, I'm realizing that in my life, I am thirsty. I'm thirsty for God. How about you? Or, you know, in my life, I realize that if this is all there is, I'm really missing out. What do you think? I'm wearing this because reminds me that I need to know that there's something bigger than myself to live for. And I'm thirsty to know it. What do you think? So maybe it'll open up a conversation for you. Maybe. But more than anything else, it's my hope that little things like this would be doing things in our hearts, would be providing, doing a part of a transformation that happens in us. That we wouldn't be apathetic people. That we, even for all the love and all of the fellowship and all the discipleship and all the ways of connecting, we wouldn't forget that we're salt. And without salt, there are people on this planet that are spiritually spoiling. That their lives are not all that they should be or could be. That there's a God that loves them passionately, and thus far, they have missed out on the very thing they're there for. The very reason they're on the planet. And that grieves the heart of God. And it should grieve our hearts too. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this reminder of your love, of your compassion, of your grace, and of your desire for every person on this planet to know you. Lord, guard us. Guard your church, both Columbia Grove and every church in this world that proclaims the name of Jesus. Guard us from apathy. And fill us with empathy and compassion. Boldness. Give us the words to share when there's time. Open our eyes to the opportunity. Make us curious. And Lord, we pray you would use all of this so that lost people could be found, and that hurting people could be helped, and this world could be changed in the name of Jesus. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.